Now it's our happy privilege to be with you again tonight. We always count it a real privilege to come out to the tent and minister the Word of God. We look forward to having the fellowship with you. And I'd like to say that we're sorry that the weather turned off a little cool, because it was real nice and warm, but you know, you can't do anything about it. You just have to work with it. And there is times when I feel to do something about it, and we do. But otherwise, we just work with it. If we see it's going to interfere with the things of God, then we pray it away. But otherwise, we just work with it. And tonight, a little bit cool under the tent. And maybe that's why the crowd's off a little. Maybe it isn't. But nevertheless, it is a little cool tonight. We're glad for those that have come out tonight. We had a little fellowship with a couple of brothers that just before we come in, Brother Joe Bale and Brother Rogers. Brother Rogers, an evangelist that travels across the nation preaching the gospel, that also used to work with Brother Terrell. And Brother Joe Bale, one of the leading ministers here in Macon, Georgia, that has a nice, beautiful church over on Hightower. They came by and talked with us some just before service. They've been out with us a time or two and wanted to come and be with us. But Brother Rogers said he had to get on with his meetings. He had meetings scheduled in a number of different states, but he would be by at the campground to visit with us some there at Little Bethlehem. And we visited with a few others that we've really enjoyed visiting with since we've been here. Brother Jim came by a few minutes just before service. Brother Jim's back with us tonight, the wrestler, the ex-wrestler. Brother Jim, he quit wrestling, you know. Jim told me, he said, you know, Brother Pike, if you really get it like the Bible reads, he said, you'll leave wrestling alone unless you're going to wrestle with the devil. I thought that was a pretty good testimony, because I think he was getting something like $1,000 a week. And a fella's got to be pretty determined, you know, to follow after something right, to walk off and leave something like that. But he's here with us tonight, and he's preaching around the different parts of the nation, fixing to go into the Dakotas. We're certainly glad to have him with us tonight, he and his wife. And the others, I believe somebody was telling me tonight that there's an old friend of mine here. I made the statement I felt sure that he'd be out, and I'm hoping that he's here. I'm still looking to see him. I hadn't seen him yet, but I believe he's back there somewhere. I see Brother and Sister Garrett here again tonight. They've been out every night of the meeting, and this is wonderful. I appreciate those people coming to be with us. Somebody was telling me that Brother Watts is here tonight. I don't see him. Oh, yes, here he is right in front of me. Praise God. I really appreciate that. You know, it's been quite a while since he's been out of the house anywhere. Isn't that right, brother? How long has it been, Brother Watts? Been a good while since he's been out of the house. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful that he'd take courage and come out here to this tent meeting? Been shut in. I tell you, let's give the Lord a hand. Can you give the Lord a hand? Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. I praise the Lord tonight. My throat's a little better. This weather turning one way and then another has caused my throat to tie up some, but it's better tonight. I'm trusting God will do something about it. I'm doing everything I know to do for it, and then I'm praying and asking God to do what He will for it. So I thank the Lord for what He's doing to help me. See Brother Cantrell down tonight, he and the wife, and also our brother that works with him there, down with us tonight. Certainly appreciate him being with us. These are some wonderful people. They usually get out to our tent meetings and our meetings wherever we go, and we certainly appreciate them. Thank the Lord for them. I wonder if we could stand together tonight. There's numbers of people, you know that are here and that we really appreciate. I noticed that Almond has been with us every night. He hasn't missed a night. Appreciate him being out here in these services with us. Not one night he's missed yet. And also, I believe I see Brother Chapman back there again tonight. Yep, that's him. This man taught me the first three chords I ever knew on a guitar. And he was here last night. He come down from over in Juliet. And I hadn't seen him in years, in many years. And he come down and visited with us last night and didn't know he was going to get back tonight. But we're certainly glad to have him here. I was about 17 years old, I guess, when I knew him back then. And been a lot of water going on the bridge since then. We've played and sang across the different parts of the nation and preached across the world since that time. Didn't know that I'd ever run across him again in my life. But he heard about us being here and he came to be in service with us, and I think it's wonderful. All right, in the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, let me say again that we welcome you to the tent. We're looking forward to a great, wonderful meeting here in Macon, Georgia. We've had some wonderful services, had some hindrance, a little bit of hindrance, but we've had some wonderful services, and we've not really got into the services yet like we feel that we will be able to get into them, because we feel like God's going to do something special here in Macon, Georgia. Sunday night we had a real outstanding move of God, and we had probably had over 600 people here, and we had a good time in the Lord, and each night we've had a goodly crowd to minister to. But I'm expecting God to do something outstanding here in Macon, Georgia. As I said last night, we're scheduled for about 10 days here, but we do have the lot for a whole month if the Lord decides that that's what he wants. But we're only scheduled for 10 days, and then after that, we're supposed to move the tent. We promised some people that we'd come into Mexico. They've asked for us for a long time in old Mexico, and in this particular area, we've not been in there in a long time. The last time we was in there, we had a meeting in a church there, and we had a house full of people, and we had a wonderful time. An outstanding meeting, and before that, we was in the Bull Arena there, a time or two in Mexico, and we had some wonderful meetings. And this time, they're wanting us to come in and bring the tent. They've been a little fussy with us because we've been so long getting into this part of Mexico. We were down in old Mexico not too long ago, and some of our people, as we went down into Central America, down and we was having a crusade down in Honduras, Central America, and as we went down through old Mexico and Guatemala, our people passed out. I believe with South America and Central America, they passed out 100,000 pieces of literature, hand to hand, which was a lot of literature, and yet it barely scratched the surface, considering so many multiplied people in that part of the country. Let's read together the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter. Okay, in the 10th chapter, starting with the first verse. You know, I'd like to say this just before we read. I would love to be able to share some revelation with the people of Macon, Georgia. I feel a hunger here among the people that have been coming out, and I'd love to be able to share some revelation. In the meetings, a lot of times it's real difficult to share the revelation of Jesus Christ because of the lack of maturity and the lack of growth in the people. So we usually have to preach a simple message of salvation, praying for the sick, asking God to deliver, and then we have to let that be it. But once in a while, we will get into a place to where people are hungry, and God will begin to bless, and the Spirit of God will begin to be revealed, and the revelation will begin to come forth. I hope that will be the case here in Macon, Georgia, because the people certainly have had a wonderful spirit, a real receptive spirit. They've been very, very congenial, and I feel that God is going to bless these people. If they continue with the attitude that they have had, they couldn't help but be blessed. And of course, this is thrilling to me because I love to see people blessed. It's my desire to see people blessed. I want to see God tonight bless our brother Watts and strengthen his body tonight. I believe God's going to do it. I made the statement. I believe he would be out to this meeting, and here he is. And I believe that God is going to strengthen him. And I believe that God is going to heal during this meeting. How do you believe that God's going to heal people during this meeting? I believe that God is going to heal during this meeting. We're talking to Jesus every day, asking him to heal during this meeting. And I believe that God is going to heal during this meeting. All right, in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, you can be seated. That's reading the entire 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. All right, this reading here, this particular passage of Scripture. I'll move this little Bible stand so we can get around good here. Reading this passage of Scripture tonight, I want you to notice that it says, in the days of the voice, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, you know, when we think about the gospel, we as a people, we have a tendency to think of it like this, that the gospel is a real simple thing and that it doesn't require much understanding. You just hear it and that's all there is to it. And you don't have to try to search out anything. You don't have to try to figure out anything. You just hear it and that is all there is to it. And I know that there is a simplicity in the gospel, whereas God teaches that if we are to be saved, that we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nothing complicated about that. God has made that simple, and God has made that very easy for us, because he doesn't want things to be complicated when it comes to us finding salvation. But brother and sister, on the other hand, if that is all there is to it, what is meant by these angels that the book of Revelation speaks of? What is meant by all these marvelous things that sound so mysterious that John speaks of? What are all these things talking about? And what are all these things pointing to if that is all that there is to the gospel. You know, the Bible teaches that great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of God. The mysteries of God are great. This is one thing that we really need to get a hold of, and that is the fact that the mystery of God is great. Just preaching the gospel, telling somebody to repent of their sins, and receiving the infilling of the Spirit, that is not all there is to the gospel. The Bible tells us that we must grow in the grace of God, and we must grow in the knowledge of God, for we are ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, if I receive salvation, if I've been forgiven of my sins, why should I worry about anything else? I'm going to heaven, and that's the only thing that's important to me. Let the other people, therefore, let them grow in grace and knowledge. I'll be satisfied just to get to heaven, and there's a lot of things that I want to do in this world anyway. You know, first of all, with that kind of attitude, you never did get saved. If you'd ever got saved, you would have lost that kind of attitude. You would have had that kind of attitude. Because the first thing that God does is take that kind of attitude out of you. You know, the very first thing that God does is move out of you the attitude that you can just do any old way and get to heaven. Isn't that right? God does that. That's the first thing that God does. So then if a person has that kind of attitude, it's very evident that they never did get anywhere with God. So the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. A lot of people, they never even find true repentance, let alone real salvation. They never come to a real repentance in their life to know about Jesus. They never come to a real repentance to even get salvation, let alone move into the mysteries of God and understand the mind of God and the great things of God. Some people are so carnally minded until they never become spiritual in their entire life. They're so critical, and they find so much fault until they never get their eyes open to the things of God. They never find Christ during their whole lifetime. But I praise God for one thing, that there is going to be some people that's going to stand on the wonderful shores of sweet deliverance. There is some people that's going to make it into the kingdom of God. There is some people that's going to be saved. There is some people that's going to receive the mysteries of God. Now then, a person would say, Brother Pike, why should I bother to try to learn anything more about God if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If I become a Christian, why should I try to learn anything else? I'm going to heaven. But did you know there's difference in rewards? Did you know there's difference in degrees of punishment? Did you know the Bible speaks of people that do certain things that shall receive the greater damnation? Did you know that's Bible? There's some people that will receive the greater damnation because of the things that they have done. And did you know that there's people that's going to receive a greater reward than some other people because of what they've done? If we as human beings here in the world want to follow after the riches of the world, and we're after every dollar that we can get, and we are trying to get every tangible substance that we can so that we can be wealthy in the world, then how is it that we are not hungering and thirsting after the riches of heaven, which are eternal riches that will give us a greater place with God and a greater place in heaven? Now you say, well, I'm not persuaded that there is a greater place. Then what does the Bible mean when it speaks of kings? Did you know the Bible speaks of priests? And the Bible speaks of kings? And the Bible tells us that there's going to be kings over there on the other side? Did you know there's going to be kings over there on the other side? The Bible speaks of kings. As a matter of fact, when John was caught up in the book of Revelation there where the door was open in heaven, the Bible said that he saw 24 elders that was around the throne. And these were 24 kings. They were different from the other people. They were 24 kings. And did you know the book of Revelation also states that there will be other kings? For God hath made us priests and kings unto our God. And did you know when the disciples asked Jesus the question, what shall we receive in that we've left houses and land and home and all of these things? That Jesus stated, when I sit upon my throne judging, you will also sit upon 12 thrones beside me judging. Therefore, they also shall be kings. And then the Bible speaks of being ruler over 5 cities or being ruler over 10 cities. The Bible speaks of men that will have power and have authority that will be ruling out there in that world, just like men have power and authority and rule here in this world. So then, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of reasons why that you should pray. There's a lot of reasons why you should fast. There's a lot of reasons why you should not be just contented to sit down with complacence and just go along at any rate of life. There's a lot of reasons why you should be stirred up for God and be on fire for God and move out for God and move in for God and want to do something else for Jesus Christ. There's lots of reasons why you should have a great zeal for God, a burning ego for God, to witness the gospel to the ends of the earth and to be about the Master's business. There's great reasons why you should be willing to sacrifice and share your substance, even down as it was with the widow, to the last mite, to be able to receive a greater substance over yonder in heaven and to have a greater place with God over yonder in that great city that's called New Jerusalem. So then, I think it's worthwhile for me to seek God. There is a greater reason why that we should move in on the things of God. Why is it that you will take your child, you will send it to school in the early morning, you will make it stay in school practically all day long, you will do that practically every day of the week, you will then send it to college and you want it to have the very best? Why is it that you want to educate it to the full? Why is it that you want to cause it to have such great education? Because you know from practical experience in life that you have been robbed of many things and many advantages that your child could have if they had the proper education. That's the way you look at it. Well, if that be true, then why is it that we feel that children should not be educated in the things of God and that we should not grow in the knowledge of God? Seeing that education is such an advantage in this present world, how much more should we realize that the knowledge of God is of greater advantage in the world to come? So then we should learn everything that we can about God. We should grow in the grace of God. We should grow in the knowledge of God. We should try our very best to become perfect, moving to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. This is what I have wanted to do in my lifetime. This is what I've set out to do in my lifetime. And because of that, God has shared with me an abundance of revelation. Paul spoke of his much revelation. God has shared with me an abundance of revelation because I made this my goal in life. You love Jesus? Now then, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's not just a simple thing. It's not just shouting and dancing. You know, it's good to shout and dance. I love to see people praise God, speak in tongues, lift up their hands to the Lord, shout, have a good time. I love to see people full of joy and bubbling over. These things are great. These things are wonderful. But at the same time, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, there's more to it than that. We need to grow on into the things of God. You don't find Jesus running and shouting. You don't find Jesus jumping and speaking in tongues, even though Jesus believed in it, even though Jesus taught it, even though Jesus inspired many hundreds of thousands of people down through the years to do it. And one said, I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall by the Spirit of God. And sometimes God's Spirit is so powerful that it has picked up men at times like Ezekiel and set them down many miles away as in the valley of dry bones. God's Spirit moves so mightily doing so many things. But brother, sister, I'm talking about this thing that Paul spoke of, where he said, I count all that I have as loss, or all of my learning is nothing, that I might obtain that wonderful excellency of the knowledge of the Almighty God. What we need tonight is the knowledge of God. Solomon said, keep on searching and you'll find the knowledge of God. What we need tonight is the knowledge of God. You know, I never realized that such glorious, wonderful things existed. I'm honest with you. I had prayed for many years. I'd fasted. I'd traveled across the nation. I'd preached the gospel. But I never knew there were so many wonderful, glorious treasures and such magnificent understanding of the great God of heaven that was hid from us. I never knew it. I'd preached in big churches, preached in little churches. I'd preached to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic. I'd preached to the Pentecostals. I'd had fellowship with all kinds of people. I prayed until I'd just slobber like a dog for hours and hours. You know, down away from my folks, all by myself. I've been out in the woods all night long by myself, calling on the name of Jesus. I prayed till the sun come up, but I still didn't know that there were such great, wonderful treasures and such great, wonderful knowledge that God had for his people. I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. But one day God said, I want to talk with you and I want to tell you some things. And I said, all right. And God began to talk with me, and all of a sudden something began to happen to me, and I thought, my God, what is this? I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't understand what you're saying. And this thing, as the world said, was so far out, I thought, Lord, what's the matter with me? Am I losing my mind? Am I going berserk? And you know, I began to draw back from it. It was so great, so mighty, so wonderful. And then God spoke to me and he said, son, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to have it. I said, my God, I've read about where Paul had it. I read about where John had it. And I've heard about it. But God, I didn't know it was for our day. You know, I didn't know that you give things like this in our day. And I drawn back from it until I knew what God was doing. And for numbers of years, I fed from the heavenly table of God. And it's the most glorious, the most beautiful thing, the most magnificent thing that's ever been given to human beings. I praise God tonight for the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. So then, you say, what can the revelation of Jesus Christ do? I'll tell you what it's done for me. The revelation of Jesus Christ has made me to know what is going to take place in my local area where I lived. It has made me to know what was going to happen to my family, my immediate family. It has made me to understand every son, every daughter. It has made me to understand my wife, my own personal life. It has made me to understand the lives of my associates, what they are put here in the world for, and what they're preordained for, and what road they're going to take, and what the end of it's going to be. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? It has made me to know concerning international affairs. It has made me to know what would happen to the president. It has made me to know what would happen to the senator. It has made me to know what would happen to people on a world scale. As a matter of fact, something comes to my mind tonight. I remember when the prisoners were in Iran. And though some constantly affirmed that they would be killed and they would not be freed, I said it will not be that way, because the revelation of Jesus Christ says that they will be set free, that they will come home and they will set foot safe on American soil. It doesn't matter what the president says. It doesn't matter what the leader of Iran says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They will do it. And so they did it. And tonight it comes to my mind about them, because it's this very night that just as I started in the tent, my wife, Betty, just finished reading me a letter from Colonel Scott. Is that right, Betty? From Colonel Scott. He just wrote me a letter. He's got one of those songs we wrote, Brother Taylor, about Welcome Home. And we had testified to him of the gospel in some writings. And he wrote me back a letter of appreciation and told me how that God had moved him and how God had a hold of his heart and sent me some kind of information concerning the other prisoners, so that I could testify the gospel to them. He was really in appreciation, you know, of the gospel of Jesus and of the things that God was doing, and wanted to wish us well in the things that we was doing for God, because it had greatly inspired him. So then I said that to say this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God, the understanding of Christ can tell you your own life. It can tell you who you are in the gospel. It can tell you what you're here in this world for. It can tell you where you're going. It can tell you why you've been in the places you've been in. And it can inspire you. It can open up your mind and heart. It can give you a new vision. It can give you a new world. The wonderful understanding of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, has helped me to predict great men's falls and problems. Even the ministry that had problems here not too long ago, one of the greatest ministries that's been in America, I guess, that publishes a magazine called The Plain Truth. They had never had any problems at any time in a breakup or misfortune of their ministry. But the Lord told me that they would, and that the thing had come to an end, and it was fixing to break all to pieces. And we spoke of it, and in just a little while, they discovered all kind of things, and the Father and the Son crossed up, and now they're completely separated. Everything is gone like it's been turned upside down, because God said it would be that way. I remember the great evangelist A.A. Allen, when God spoke to me and said he'll take sick and die. He showed it to me in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I said, he'll take sick and die. I said, his death is close at hand right now. And even though the radios came and said, Alan is not dead, yet when we moved from Memphis coming over into the areas of Monroe, while I was up preaching one night, they come to me and they said, A.A. Allen is dead. Said he took sick and died. When the Lord spoke to me in Florida, in the early part of 65, I believe it was, the Lord spoke to me and showed me by the revelation and by vision that the great man or the prophet of God, William Branham, would go out to meet God. And I spoke to Brother Parnell in Florida about it. And I told him, I said, this man will go to meet God. I said, the Lord revealed it to me. By the end of the year, the man had a wreck. When they called me, they said, Brother Branham has had a wreck. I said, Brother Branham will die, but his wife will not die. And I said, I believe it was two in there with them. I said, they won't die. The wife, that is, the wife won't die, and the daughter won't die. I said, but Brother Branham will die just before Christmas Day. On that Christmas Eve, just before Christmas Day, Brother William Branham went out to meet God. Why did that happen? Because that, along with many multiplied things, the revelation of Jesus Christ showed. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God, showed what Brother Branham was in this world for. It showed what Oral Roberts was in this world for. And just before the calamity struck Oral Roberts, I spoke to my wife and the others about it, how that it was fixing to strike. And then the awfulness of it struck. And Brother Roberts went through the great sorrow he did. But brethren, sisters, What we need tonight is the knowledge of God. We need the revelation of the Son of God tonight. We need to know what God has got us in this world for, and we need to know what God is telling us. This is why God showed John the revelation in the book of Revelation. Now I want to say this again. When you read the book of Revelation, the first thing you read is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, turn over to the first chapter, turn over to the first verse, and the first thing you will read, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then, as I said the other night, a lot of times people get afraid because the Bible says concerning the revelation, if any man add unto this book, then the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. If any man take away from this book, then his part shall be taken out of the book of life. But you've got to understand what God was saying. For I said the other night that Paul the apostle, he waxed bold and said, God has given me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle said things that was altogether different from what John said. And it sounded like he was adding to the book. And it sounded like he was taken away from the book. But if you'll notice, it flows together line upon line and precept upon precept. So then Paul spoke the same thing that John did. John spoke the same thing that Paul did. And today we're speaking the same thing that all of them spoke. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Now, but what we need is the knowledge of God. Now, I could stand here tonight, and this is the truth before God. There's people that can bear record of it here tonight. There's a number of them that I believe would bear record. That I could stand here tonight and talk to you until the sun come up and still barely scratch the surface of the revelational things that we have talked to different ones about. And we could write book after book after book after book of the great revelational knowledge that God has given concerning what has happened since the time of Adam and Eve in the garden and what is going to happen between now and the time of the coming of the Son of God. But I said that to say this, that we are here in Macon, Georgia by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul spoke one time of going up to visit with Peter by revelation. Now I know that we walk by faith and we do many things by faith. You do and I do, because the just lives by faith. But on many occasions, we are privileged to move by the revelation of the Son of God. That is to know the mind of Jesus Christ and move by the mind of Jesus Christ. For what is the revelation of Jesus Christ other than the mind of Jesus Christ? The mind of the Lord. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You know, and I like the way he said that. For he said, being made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Isn't that right? You know, a lot of people, you talk about being equal with God, and they really get disturbed. But did you know that we are equal with God tonight through the blood of Jesus? How do you know that we're equal with God tonight through the blood of Jesus? The Bible said, every man that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master. But the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And every man that be perfect shall be as his master. How do you believe tonight that the perfecting grace of God hath done a good job? For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How do you believe that you're sanctified tonight? All right, then your testimony is that you're perfect tonight. Is that right? Because the Bible said God is perfected forever. He hath made perfect them that are sanctified. And he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ yonder at Calvary. Is that right? One time and for all, God sanctified us by the blood of Calvary. And did you know today, friend, that God has a good attitude towards you? You know, the devil, he'd love to have you cast down, wouldn't he? He'd love to have you feeling all depressed. He'd love to have you feeling that God is just trying to devour you. But did you know God's got a good attitude towards you? Did you know the Bible said when the angel came to visit with the shepherds, the Bible said the angel of the Lord came upon him. And as the great Spirit of God moved A voice said, peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth. And it said, goodwill toward men, goodwill toward men. Did you know there's a goodwill toward men for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did you know that God has a goodwill toward you? Did you know that the devil plays tricks with your mind? And the devil always causes your mind to be messed up. That he's trying to trample down the mind of humanity. And that he keeps the mind of humanity all crossed up. He causes you through wild imagination and vain deceit of evil surmising to think contrary to what God wants you to have. But you should think good toward God because God thinks good toward you. But if the devil can convince you that God is thinking bad toward you, then that makes you want to think bad toward God. Isn't that right? If the devil can convince you tonight that Brother Pike is thinking bad toward you, then that makes you want to think bad toward Brother Pike. Isn't that right? The devil plays tricks with your mind. Now listen for just a minute. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Is that right? God has one attitude, that's all he has. Just one attitude. That's peace on earth by Calvary and goodwill toward humanity. He never changes that. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, sometimes I think he feels good toward me and sometimes I think he don't. God never changes, beloved friend. That's just your thinking. That's just your mind. God has one attitude, and that's every day in the week, all around the clock, day after day. That is, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you with a great love. He never changes. I want to bless you. I want to heal you. I want to help you. I want to see you live eternally. I want to see you bypass the problems of life. I want to see you healthy and strong. I want to meet your needs above all things in life. Physically, spiritually, financially. I want to give you the desires of your heart. And the only thing that keeps me from doing it is that you won't delight yourself in me. Now, listen, friend. Did you know that you cannot delight yourself in God if you think God is your enemy? If you think God is upset at you, why, you can't delight yourself in God. Now, can you? Can you do that? Now, if you had a neighbor and you thought that neighbor was going to pounce on you any day, you couldn't delight yourself in him. But if you had a neighbor and you felt like that neighbor really loved you and that neighbor was continually trying to figure out something good to do for you, well, you could think pretty good toward him, couldn't you? You could really delight yourself in that neighbor. Oh, brother, that's the way it is in God. Think about God tonight. You say, Brother Pike, you're just saying things to encourage us. I'd like to encourage you, that's for sure. But brothers, sisters, I'm not trying just to encourage you. I'm here to tell you the truth tonight. This is the way God feels towards you. There's peace on the earth. There's a goodwill from God to mankind. There always has been ever since Calvary. And there always will be as long as grace is in this world. As long as grace is in this world. Now, peace on this earth, goodwill toward men. You know why the devil plays tricks on you? Now we listen just a minute. Listen real close. It's because Lucifer, Satan, the prince of the powers of the air, Lucifer, he is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the ruler. Lucifer, Satan, he is a great angel of light. He is the prince of the powers of the air. That means that he has control over atomic matter. Are you listening now? The great brilliance of science. The great brilliance of science are inspired by him. He is the prince of the powers of the air. The prince of the powers of the air. Which means that he is the ruler over evil spirits, over the powers of evil that works in the air. He is the ruler. He is the prince of this world. He is the prince of this world. You say, Lucifer, the prince of this world, is not Jesus the prince of this world? Jesus is not the prince of this world, friend. Lucifer is the prince of this world. Satan is the prince of this world. God made Adam the prince of this world, and God gave Adam the power to be the prince of this world. But when Lucifer subdued Adam through the weakness of his wife Eve, when Satan took over and began to take control of Adam, Lucifer became the prince of this world, and he subdued Adam, and he's got dominion over Adam's generation. So then he's the prince of this world. And Lucifer is the prince of the powers that's in the air. Are you listening? Why do you have sickness in your body? Why do you have trouble in your heart? Why do you have oppression of mind? Why are you driven? Why is it that the days seem to be filled with oppression so much at this very moment? Because Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. Where does the storms and the earthquakes, where do they come from? They come from Lucifer, who causes the billows of the sea to rise up in a tidal wave. Lucifer, who causes the raging of the storm and the lightning and the wind blowing. Lucifer, who is it that causes the turmoil in the earth? Lucifer, who is it that causes the sickness, that causes the unrest? Who is it that afflicts the body? Lucifer. Why? Because he is the prince of this world. When you say the prince of the powers of the air, that means that he is the ruler over atomic matter. He has control over atomic matter. Scientists use the terms mind over matter, and that is true. In this world at the present time, it is Satan's mind that hath control of all form of matter. He is ruling all form of matter. But beyond that, the true mind over matter is God's mind. Christ is mind. This is why we need the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is why we need the knowledge of God. He said, ye are gods, ye are sons of God, but ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge of knowing what you are and who you are and what kind of power that you possess. So then Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. He's the one that hath control of the atomic matter. He's the one that upsets the heavens. He's the one that causes the problem. And because your body is a composition of atomic particles, then he afflicts your body. He afflicts your mind. Because you're constituted from the dust, and because your body is atomic particles, then he interferes. He interferes with your means and ways of life and your modes of life. God made you one way, but Lucifer interferes with it. He interferes with it. That's what causes the ragings of the sea. The ragings of the sea. You remember when Jesus was on board the little ship? How do you remember that? When Jesus was on board the little ship, he was asleep. He was asleep. All of a sudden the waves begin to roar. All of a sudden the winds begin to blow. And the disciples got afraid. And they said, my, we're going to perish. Somebody said, go wake Jesus. We're going to perish. And they went back there and they awoke Jesus. And Jesus stepped out. He looked around and he said to the winds, he said, peace, peace. And the wind stopped. It just stopped. And he looked down at the waves. He said, be still, be still. And it just stopped like that. Now, why did he do that? Because he rebuked Lucifer. He rebuked Satan. Satan meant to drown Jesus while he was asleep. Did you know that? Just like the devil meant to cause Jesus to jump off of that mountain and off of that pinnacle to kill himself to stop the plan of salvation, he meant to drown Jesus. He knew Jesus was a man. He meant to drown him while he was asleep. But see, God didn't allow that. And Jesus just stepped up and rebuked the winds and the waters, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Have you ever rebuked the winds? Have you ever rebuked the winds? If you've never done it, you can. You can. I remember on a number of occasions that we've done it. As a matter of fact, it was just yesterday, a day before yesterday, just recently, when the winds come up and started blowing the tent, we rebuked the winds and the wind stopped. I remember not too long ago when Brother Taylor and I was coming back from California or out in that area coming across New Mexico, and there in El Paso, we had a vision about the great tornadoes, how they'd sweep over the nations, and they did. But God showed me in the vision how that all I had to do was lift up my hand, and that when I lift up my hand and prayed to him, that he'd cause the storm to move over. And so he did. I remember when it came, when the great tornado came and it killed people in our areas, it took down huge trees, it just tumbled things all around. And it was so fierce. I remember when it hit there at the church, and one of the posts went out this way and one of the posts went out that way, and everything turned dark. And I heard a voice say, "Remember the vision, raise your hand." I remember the vision and I raised my hand and I said, "God, do what I'm asking you to do and spare us." And that thing lifted up, went over the church, went over the area, and just on the other side of our place, a man had a turkey farm over there with thousands of turkeys. And it just dropped down and swept the buildings down and the turkeys and everything. Completely done away with it, to where he's never been able to reestablish it. The man found out what we did, and the man had made some remarks about the church. He had made some remarks he shouldn't have made about the church. But I'll tell you what, after God moved like that, he sent word. He said, "Tell that preacher to please keep his hands up next time till it gets over my place too." It made a believer out of him. It made a believer out of him. God will make a believer out of you. Do you know that? So then Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, folks. He messes everything up. Did you know the Bible says that after Satan is bound for 1,000 years... after that God gets him into the pit there, that everything will be peaceful and that nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, that there won't be any turmoil, there won't be any sickness, there won't be any storms, there won't be any problems, everything will be peaceful. Just as soon as God binds Lucifer, everything will be just right. It'll be just like it was back in the garden. But as long as the devil is at large, and he is at large right now, as long as he is at large, he's going to afflict your body. He's going to work in the atomic particles of your body. And he's going to mess up your mind by doing it. He's going to mess up your health by doing it. And you can only correct it by faith in God. That same faith that spoke you into existence, that same word of God in the beginning, who was God, who is God, the same faith in that God or in that word can straighten your life out, heal your body, and bless you and supply your needs and cause those powers to get away from you. It just takes believing God. It just takes believing God. If you can have faith in God, if you can believe in God, God will give you the power to be free from sickness. God will give you the power to get free from Lucifer. God will give you the power to be healthy. He'll give you the power to get wealth. The Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow." He'll give you the power to be rich. We shouldn't fall after riches. We should fall after God. But God will give you the power to be rich. How do you know there's a riches that comes from God and there's a riches that comes from the devil? One of these nights I'm going to make mention of it. There is a riches that comes from Lucifer and there is a riches that comes from God. And if you know how to differentiate between the two and you know what to do, God will give it to you. God will give it to you. Since I've been serving God, God's given me many hundreds of thousands of dollars. I had to have many hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what I have to do for God, to evangelize the world. But God's given me many hundreds of thousands of dollars. I had nothing, not anything, not even bread to eat. But believe in God, he's given me many hundreds of thousands of dollars because I believe God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It addeth no sorrow. But as I say, there is a riches that comes from Lucifer. And you can get entangled with those kind of things and get in bondage and be a very sad person and be in very wretched circumstances. All right, so then tonight we see that we need the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need the knowledge of God that we may grow into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, our example, Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me. Now we could go on and on tonight ministering the word of the Lord because our heart is filled with the revelation of God and the wonderful things of Jesus. We're living in a terrible day. a terrible day. Brother Rogers, an evangelist, is traveling all over the nation. He's talking to me tonight about the great meetings that they used to have. They used to have great meetings. But he was talking about how hard it was, how different it is, how that things is changing. What a terrible time it is. How awful it is to have a revival anymore. As a matter of fact, he just closed out a 2-week revival here in Macon. I don't know what kind of meeting he had. I didn't ask him. But what a terrible time it is. But you know what? There is a revival for God's people. There is a revival for God's people. They're making a change right now. See, they're coming into this new thing right now. And what has happened, the reason they're not having revival, is because the old manner has given out. And they've been in the wilderness, and they've got to get over the Jordan. We're going to preach one night on getting over the Jordan. They've been in the wilderness with the manner, and they've got to get over the Jordan. But you're talking about revival. When they get over the Jordan, when they get a hold of this new manner, it's going to be one of the most exciting moves that's ever been on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, it's going to be such great, outstanding move until it's going to translate human beings and take them out of here without going by the way of the grave. Now you say, Brother Pike, is there such thing available? Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm a steward of those mysteries. Great is the revelation, and behold, I show you a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. What is the mystery, Paul? He said, we shall not all sleep, but there's going to be a change. You might not believe it. You might not know it, but while you doubt it, some is accepting. Some is understanding. There is a move in the land right now, and the knowledge of the power over death and translation by faith, the way that Enoch was translated that he should not see death, the message is in the world today. For the generation of today, it has come. It is here. And some is going to get it. Some is going to scorn. They'll never get their understanding open. They'll never get over the Jordan. Some is going to be bound to their denominationalism. They're going to be bound to their sect of religion. And they're going to take what they've had, and they're going to stop right there, and they're going to say, nope, that's it. And they're not going to open their eyes to anything else, and they're going to die in the wilderness. You know what the wilderness is? It's your carnal reasoning. That's what the wilderness is. We'll enlarge on it one night, and you'll have a chance to see whether I'm telling you the truth or not. It is your carnal reasoning. That's what the wilderness is. Every natural thing in the Old Testament had a spiritual meaning in the New Testament. Every natural thing that God did was a type and a shadow with the church in the wilderness pointing toward the church that would come out of the wilderness into Canaan land, which was on this side of Calvary. And so then, there's going to be people that are going to miss it. They're going to miss it. There's going to be people that's going to get healing for their body. They're going to have enough faith in the days of grace that they're going to get healed in these tent meetings and get healed in these revivals. And they're still going to miss heaven. And they're still going to miss the revelation of the Lord and still miss the translation. They're going to shout. They're going to sing. They're going to clap their hands. They're going to do all these things. But they're still going to go through tribulation. They're still going to miss the translation. Believe it or not, this Macon meeting has to do with something, folks, that unless you've been in touch with heaven, I'm talking to you preachers now, not just the laity, unless you ministers have been in touch with God, this Macon meeting has to do with something that you don't have any idea what it's about. Now, if you've been in touch with God, really in touch with God, I can't say that you don't know, because God gives to all men freely when you are available, when you make yourself available. But it is a true fact that if you have not made yourself available, even though you might be a minister and you might be one of the greatest Bible scholars in the land, you don't know. I had a Bible scholar to come to me not too long ago, a brother. He's one of the most outstanding men that I have ever heard. He can quote the Bible verbatim. I mean just literally quote it. He doesn't have to look at it, he just quote it. I don't mean one scripture and two scriptures and 10 scriptures. I mean scripture after scripture just going down the line. As far as I know, hundreds of them, just right, one right after another. But he doesn't know anything about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love Jesus? Praise God. You might have a gift, but brother, that doesn't mean that you've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Old brother Peter could walk on the water. Isn't that right? He could heal people by just letting his shadow drop on them. They had so much confidence in Peter's ministry. He'd get up on a wall and walk in with his shadow would pass by. Then people would say, God, heal me. God, heal me. And up they would come. But when he got with old brother Paul, Peter said, Paul says things hard to be understood. Hard to be understood. And he said, those that are unlearned, they rest, even this, to their own destruction. So then Paul said he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he did. He did. I didn't know that till God opened my eyes, but he did. Let's sing a little chorus together tonight. There's something wonderful in the land today. A lot of people looking for something. A lot of people looking back on something. But there's something that's happening. And it is glorious. And it is marvelous. And it is so unbelievably great till there is no vocabulary that would give forth utterance that could describe it. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. If you are the kind of person that's carnal minded, then the Bible tells me that you are abiding in death. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't do it. But they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil, he said, these people are in for a great treat. For I say to you again tonight, eye hath not seen. You've never seen it with your eyes, folks. You've never seen it with your eyes. Eye hath not seen. Eye hath not seen, though you might have seen many things in your lifetime, but eye hath never seen. And not only that, but you might have heard a lot of things in your lifetime, but ear hath never heard. Never heard. And the Bible said, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Never. In all the college teachings, in all of the great festivals, in all of the great scientific discoveries, never out of any of it has I ever seen or ear ever heard, or has it at any time ever entered into the heart of men at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But the Bible tells us that he hath made it a revelation. For he hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit, even unto babes such as are willing to take time to learn, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then tonight, if you've never give way to this great mind of God, if you've never hungered and you never thirsted after the great things of God, I tell you tonight, you need to hunger, you need to thirst after the great things of God. If you've never done it, friend, now's the time to do it. Because if you want to bypass the grave, you need to do it. I'm going to say this, and I want you to try to absorb this one or two words. The church world has gotten in a rut over the word rapture. Using the word rapture, they've gotten themselves in a rut. Rapture, as you know and I know, is a good word in the application of being caught away, for that's what it means. And when preachers preach it, and sometimes I use the terms, that's what they mean. When they say rapture, they mean caught away. For the Bible teaches in Thessalonians, you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, then caught up to meet the Lord, so shall ye ever be with him. But brother, sister, you that don't understand God's word, the devil has got some of you in a rut. He's got the church world in a rut. You're mistaken if you think that you're just going to wait around and there's going to be what you call the rapture and you're going to be caught out of here. The Bible doesn't use the term rapture. That's a man-made application. The word of God doesn't use that terms. The word of God uses the terms translation. And it says that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And the Bible teaches that God hath translated us into his marvelous kingdom by faith. And the Bible teaches that we are changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory. Into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Many hundreds of preachers is going to miss what they call the rapture. And they're going to miss what they call the translation. They're beginning to realize that right now. They're beginning to realize right now that they've misled their congregations. Did you know some of the greatest men in the world, some of the greatest Bible scholars, are making open confessions that they've misled their congregations and said they were honest in it, that they really didn't know. But now that their eyes are getting open, they're beginning to see. So tonight, open your hearts, folks. Open your minds. Open your lives to God and let God fill it. Because the tribulation is not there far away. It's not there far away. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Now you've been a good audience tonight. I'm still hoarse. But you've been a good audience listening at me as I minister to you. Many things I'd like to say, but I don't want to weary you. I don't want to weary you. Many things that I'd like to say. Many hundreds of thousands of things that we could say tonight that would thrill your heart beyond the wildest imagination. You say, Brother Pike, could you really? I'm telling you the truth from my heart. And if I'm not telling you the truth, the Bible said all liars would have their part in the lake of fire. I'm telling you the truth. But I know it's uncomfortable out there tonight. And I try to work with the audience just as much as I possibly can. And I try to watch your interest, and I try to watch your ego, and I try to watch just how you're feeding. And I can tell just how you're feeding. I can tell your ego. I can tell what you're doing. I can tell your growth. And I can tell just exactly what the Lord is wanting to do. Tonight, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? Room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. For there is room at the cross for you. Sing it with me, can you? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room. Did you know that God has room at the cross for you tonight? Did you know there's a place for you? Although many have come, yet there's still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. You know, I've seen many hundreds of thousands of people in my lifetime come down, give their hearts to God or make a confession, write letters, tell us of their conviction, or be able to reach them by airways and TV, by the printed page, as they come to the things of God, accepted the things of God, made a new dedication toward Christ. And yet there's many hundreds of thousands more that is waiting. Just on the tour along in South America, our people gave 100,000 pieces of literature, as I said, hand to hand. And just from our ministry of the printed page, just a few days back, they come off of the press with 1 million tracts to send them to the people that need the gospel. Thousands of pieces of literature going into the foreign fields. When we can, we testify of Jesus. But did you know, with all those hundreds of thousands of people that have accepted the gospel or have looked into the direction of Christ, did you know there's still room at the cross for some more? There's still room at the cross for some more. And tonight, you could come to Jesus. When we leave Macon, we'll probably go down into Old Mexico for a meeting. And I'm looking for a great meeting there. After that, we're supposed to go over into the foreign countries. And I'm looking for some great meetings in India, Africa, in some of the places that we're going into. But tonight, I'm in Macon, Georgia. And there's hundreds of thousands of people in Macon, Georgia that don't know Jesus, or in the areas round about that don't know Jesus. And this tent tonight should be filled to capacity. It should be filled to capacity. Do you realize that if you tonight had the concern that you ought to have about Jesus, and if you was praying the way that you ought to be praying, and if I and we together were seeking God the way we ought to be seeking God, that you couldn't get a car parked around here because of the people? Did you know that the Bible said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, saith the Lord? A lot of times we'll look at a person and we'll say, well, I'm not going to invite them because they wouldn't come anyway. But did you know we've had doctors to come? We've had the mayor to come. We've had the professional men to come. We've had boxers, wrestlers. We've had rich men. We've had poor men. We've had men of the greatest kind of education. We've had people that didn't have no education. We've had them to come. We've had the Catholic. We've had the Methodists. We've had the Presbyterian. We've had the Baptists. We've had the Pentecostals. We've had the Church of God. We've had the Assemblies. We've had the UPC. We've had all kind of people to come. We've had the Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Science. We've had them all to come out. And we've seen people give their heart to God. There's room at the cross for every one of them. Did you know that? There's room at the cross for every one of them. All they've got to do is call on the name of Jesus. You know, no one has a monopoly on the Lord Jesus. The Jews one time thought they had a monopoly on God, and they thought nobody else couldn't come to God. But all of a sudden, God just turned them out to graze, as we say, and left them in the darkness and went and got the other people that wasn't even seeking after him. If we don't get busy, folks, if we don't get down to business and be about our Father's business, he's liable to just do that same thing to the church world of today. And he's liable to raise up a new crop altogether. If every one of you in here tonight seriously thought upon Jesus and world evangelism and realized the importance of winning his soul to God, and how that would be a jewel in your crown of life, if you could just realize that tonight, fathom that tonight, and go out tomorrow in the next few days and personally invite at least one or two people to come to God, you would be amazed at what would happen. I'm expecting God to move and fill the tent up. On a Sunday night, there wasn't but a few chairs empty. If we'd have had a few more chairs, we'd have had to, or a few more people, we'd have had to put out more chairs. But I'm expecting God to fill the tent up because I'm looking for souls to come to God. And I want you to pray. And I want you to believe. I'm going to be praying for you every day of this meeting. God being my helper, I'm going to be praying for you. And I want you to pray for me. And I want you to pray that God will save souls, because God wants to save souls. Let's just lift our hands up now while they're playing on the instruments. Close our eyes for just a moment. If you've not thought seriously upon Jesus, Folks, now's the time to get serious. Now's the time to get serious. If you've not got serious, now's the time to get serious. Ask God to do something for you. You never know when the grim reaper will come over to your house. He comes to people that are real young. Sometimes teenagers, they go out to meet God. The Bible said in the last days, young men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking after those things to come upon the world. And tonight, you may meet the grim reaper anytime, even before you go home. But there's one thing for sure, friend. If you don't meet him right away, you will meet him. Unless you make the translation, unless we get a hold of something and bring Jesus Christ back, and he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Jesus is waiting on us. Just as soon as we get a hold of this thing that will cause us to bypass the grave, Jesus is coming back. He's waiting on us. All you got to do is move up. Move in. All you got to do is move up. It's available. God has already sent it. It's in the land today. It's in the land today. God has made it available. If we'll move up and we'll move in, the Lord is waiting and ready. But there's one thing about it. If you've got a mother, if you've got a dad, if you've got children, if you've got loved ones, it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad. Do something about it. If you're not doing anything about it, Christian friend, do something about it. Pray. Are you praying for your loved ones? Are you fasting for your loved ones? Are you witnessing to your loved ones? Are you trying to do anything to be about the Father's business? Are you getting down to business with God in your soul? Are you searching and seeking out God? Are you hungering after the things of this world that will perish? Or are you hungering after the things of God? Tonight, while they're playing, I want you to think on this. We're going to sing that little chorus again. And while we sing it, I want you to step out as you sing it with me tonight. And I want you to come up to the altar. Let's sing that chorus again now. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room. I want Brother Watts to come up here. Barney will bring him up here, one of you, so we can pray for him. Sing it with me. We have come. There is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it again now. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Praise God. I want us to pray tonight that God will grant strength under our brother tonight. I believe he will do it. I believe God will give strength. You know, a lot of times we just put a number on the days of our life. And we say 1 and then 10 and then 20 and 30 and then right on down the line. And we say, well, it's all over. But the Bible said some will live longer by reason of strength. You know, your life doesn't depend on days. It doesn't depend on number. It depends on strength. And the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Moses was 80 years old. And the Bible said his eyesight had not waxed dim. Neither had the natural sources of his body become abated. Even the natural sources of his body was the same. He was like a young man. And you know what? You can be the same way tonight. There's strength for you tonight. There's strength for you tonight. Praise God. I want you to pray tonight and believe with me that God's going to give some strength right here. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm asking you to honor the efforts of our brother tonight. Lord, he got up and he come here by faith. Oh, Ramandu Ramashayo. I'm asking you to honor those efforts tonight, Father, by the power of the mighty Holy Ghost. Oh, Ramashayo. Father, honor his faith tonight. Help him to believe. Lord, in the faith of the Son of God tonight, we speak healing to this body. Lord, we speak strength to this body. Lord, we speak peace to this mind. Rest. Father, let this body begin to receive the proper oxygen that should come into the bloodstream, into the brain cells. Hear me, O God. Hear me, O God. God of heaven, in the name of Jesus. I feel him doing something, Brother Watts. In the name of Jesus, Father, grant it. Hallelujah. I feel God doing something. Have you feel God doing something? I feel God doing something tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands up and praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I feel you doing something. I want oxygen in these lungs. I want oxygen in these brain cells. I want strength. Holy Father, Lord, by the exhilaration of the Spirit tonight, in the name of the Son of God, grant it. Jesus' name tonight. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The name of Jesus. I feel the Lord moving here tonight, don't you? I feel God moving here tonight. I feel God moving here tonight. Praise God. While I was praying for him, and I closed my eyes, I saw a young woman. I saw a young woman in a red dress, and she was pleading for God to bless her. And when I looked at her, I thought, well, there's no such person here that I know of. I've not seen any such person here. But there is such a person here. And that's this lady standing right here with a white sweater on. And if she'll come up here, around here, we'll pray for her. Because in the vision, I saw her very clearly. In the vision, and she was really reaching out for God, and God was hearing her. And she was very sincere and very devoted in her heart. Let's lift our hands and pray. The vision was very clear and very plain. Praise God. Sister, God's got something for you, because if God went that far to show you in a vision, he's got something for you. Father, this is the sister. And oh God, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to do something special for this sister. Lord, whatever it is, whatever her need is, if you wish to reveal it, oh God, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, God, that you'll do something. Father, heal this body, strengthen this body, bless this body, bless this soul tonight, bless this person, encourage this heart, encourage this faith. Father, she needs encouragement for her faith tonight. I want her faith to lift up tonight. I want her faith to go out to you, because you've got your eyes on her tonight, Jesus. You've got your eyes on her tonight. Oh, Ramandura Messiah, I feel her faith moving now. Inspire her faith. In the name of Jesus, lift her faith up in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you love Jesus tonight? This sister reminds me of the sister that came before us over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, that had cancer that God healed that night. She went back and they couldn't find it with the x-rays no more. It was gone. And whatever it was, I believe God done it for her tonight. I believe he granted her request tonight. You love Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can we? Sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, oh, sweep over my soul. For my rest, oh, it is complete. While I sit at Jesus' feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I feel God here tonight, for I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Can you sing it? Can you sing it tonight? This sister has undergone a terrible experience, and God has marvelously undertook for her. She was at death's door. Her breath had failed, and she was dying. And by faith, God marvelously undertook and helped her. And she's standing here tonight, a real miracle. So let's pray tonight that God will strengthen her, that God will bless her. Lift your hands up, sister, will you? Will you pray with me tonight? Folks, you never know when your time is coming. You never know. This sister was just as healthy as she could be, going strong, had not had any real problems, and just like that it struck. You never know. You never know. Had it not been for her faith in God, had it not been for her service to God, she would no doubt have went out, Brother Jim, to meet Jesus at an early age. But God had mercy on her. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I feel your healing, Father. I feel your saving. Heal tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Forgive tonight. Save tonight. Deliver tonight. Dear God, work a miracle tonight. Lord, I believe my sister is expecting a miracle from you. And I'm asking you to give her her miracle. I know to have a miracle, Father, we've got to believe in a miracle. We've got to expect a miracle from you. And Lord, I believe she's expecting a miracle. Work a miracle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel God doing something. I feel God doing something. Hallelujah. I feel God doing something tonight. I feel God doing something tonight. You love Jesus? Lift your hands up. Are you expecting anything from God? Are you expecting anything from God? You know, to get anything from God, you've got to expect something from God. You've got to expect something from God. Isn't that right? To get anything from God, you've got to expect something from God. If you start calling on God in your heart, you start believing God in your heart, God will do something for you. I'll guarantee you that He'll do something for you. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Praise God. Will you come up here? Praise God. Praise God. Come on, that's all right. Come on. Praise God. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This brother right here is 78 years old, and he's still going strong. All right. He wants me to pray for his ear to be unstopped. He made the statement that he believed he was going to be here till Jesus come. That's about, I believe he said, was 25 years ago, he told me. Told me the other day, said 23 or 25 years ago, he said he was going to be here, and he's 78 years old. He's still going strong. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I want you to unstop this ear. I want you to take all deafness out of it. Restore it. Restore the sound, Jesus. Do it. I feel you doing it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel you doing it. In the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe God done it right then.
Thank
you. I believe God done it right
then. I do too.
Praise God. You love Jesus? Praise God. Let's love the Lord. Let's sing that chorus again. Sweep over. Don't you want Him to sweep over your soul? Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, we was down in Alabama one time. We was having a meeting, and a man come up, and he had deafness. And that night, we prayed for him, and God healed him. And he got so excited, he went all through the audience. He was having himself a time, and the preacher was hollering, God has given us a miracle. God has given us a miracle. But you know, God does work miracles. Isn't that right? If we'll believe for miracles. You know, Jesus went into a place, and the Bible said many mighty works He could not do because of their unbelief. But I don't want it to be like that with me. And I don't believe that you want it to be like that in Macon. I believe God's going to do some wonderful things right here in Macon, don't you? I really believe He is, because I feel some faith. And I believe that if we pray together and work together, that faith will build from night to night, and God will do some wonderful things. You know, in Jeffersonville, Indiana, it was a hard place. One of the hardest places that we've ever been into. But did you know, as we prayed and believed God, people's faith began to build and God began to work. God began to work. Hallelujah. Let the sister come on up here if you will. Yeah, you too, come on up here. Both of you, come on up here. One of the little sisters was here the other night. There was a little sister trying her best to touch God out there. And she didn't understand why she didn't touch God. But she did touch God. She was out there, and she did touch God. She very definitely touched God. But I didn't feel to minister to her or to say anything to her. Praise God. This sister here, you're the one that was at our meeting in Atlanta. This little sister here was at our meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, there at the sports arena. And she came up there the night we prayed for her. She had been fasting several days. She had been doing without her food for several days. See, she's back in the meeting tonight. I want to pray for both of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I feel this little sister's faith, Father. Dear God, You've honored her fasting. You've honored her faith. And here her loved ones are standing out here in this meeting tonight. They're standing here tonight, Holy Father, because of her faith in God. I want You to completely bless and heal her body tonight. I want You to strengthen her tonight. In the name of the Son of God, I feel You doing it, Jesus. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I want You to bless this sister tonight. God, encourage this faith. Do something special tonight. God, let the stream of heaven break forth in this heart tonight. May there come a stream from heaven tonight. Lord, because there's a stream that's flowing, Father, from Emmanuel's veins tonight. The name of the Son of God. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. The name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus? Let's lift our hands and love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. While God is moving tonight, let's just take a few more minutes and worship God. Just take a few more minutes. I've not helped you long from night to night, but we're going to have to tarry a little bit before Jesus as we come together if God is going to do anything. Let's love Jesus. There's another sister out there tonight. Her life is complicated. She has tried to touch the Lord, and God saw you. I'm not going to call you up here tonight, but if you come back, we will. You had the feeling that he didn't even notice you. You had the feeling. You just quit off because you had the feeling he didn't even notice you. But he did. He did. You know, your thoughts speak so loud in heaven. So loud in heaven. God sees you. God knows you. God notices every thought of your heart. Did you know that? Every thought of your heart. He notices it. He's watching you. He understands. He understands. That sister took courage after I said that. And she's pressing in again in her spirit to believe what I said. I want you to lift your hands up now. Jesus is here tonight to help you. He's here tonight to do something for you. And if we pray and believe, he will, brother. He will, sister. He'll do something for you tonight. You'll go away saying it was good to come to the house of God. Hallelujah. I spoke last night of Brother Jimmy Watts. Jim's here somewhere. I don't know just where. But he's been coming out to these meetings. Brother Jimmy Watts, give up to die. He was on the death list. And some of them said they saw the records that he had a few days to live. But he took courage in God. He rose up by faith in God. And he came up to the campground. And we prayed for him. The brethren prayed for him. Jimmy took courage and took faith. Brother John, he's here somewhere. Our brother John, he prayed for him. And Jimmy took courage. Here's John over here. Took courage. And God did something outstanding and miraculous. The count of the red sails, they were gone. You know, you've got certain sails in your body. They have an affinity for oxygen. One night maybe we'll speak concerning this in the spiritual thing. If you lose them, you don't get any oxygen. And then the other cells, as those begin to die out, the other cells, the white cells, the leukocytes, they begin to swallow them up. Swallow them up. This is where the doctors get the terms leukemia. It means leukemia. It means you die. It means you die. And Brother Jim had done got in that kind of condition. But God blessed him. God gave him some red sails. And God brought him up when the doctors couldn't do anything. And now he's preaching. He hadn't driven a car for a long, long time. But since then, he's driven his car all the way to Monroe, Georgia and back a number of times. Preaching. God does that. Lift your hands and love him, will you? Lift your hands and love him. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this prayer for you. We're going to pray this prayer for you. And I'm going to ask God to do something for you tonight. And then we're going to let you go. I want you to believe tonight. The Bible said when you pray, believe. You know it doesn't do any good to pray if you're not going to believe. But if you believe when you pray, God will do something for you. Did you know that? So let's pray together tonight now. While we pray, I want you to believe. If you want anything from God, I tell you what you do tonight. If you want anything at all from God tonight, you just reach out by faith and I'll join hands with you. And I'll promise you that if you'll join hands with me in faith, I'll pray. I won't let you down. I'll pray and I'll believe with you. And you believe honestly and sincerely with me, and I'll guarantee you before this meeting's over, you'll get an answer from God. I'll guarantee you do it. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. If you want anything from God, if you need anything from God, let's pray together now, can we? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight, Lord, as I look out over this audience tonight, Father, as I hold my hands out over the audience tonight, I want you to sweep over this audience tonight. I want you to heal tonight. And I feel the Holy Ghost, Father. I feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit here tonight. And I ask in the name of the Son of God that your Spirit come down tonight. Let your power come down tonight, Jesus. Father, and touch this audience, God. Father, heal this audience tonight. Father, break every bondage tonight. Move away every evil spirit tonight. God, heal these bodies. Bring the desire of their heart tonight, Father. Lord, give them a revival in their soul. Give them strength. Give them a refreshing, oh God. Father, tonight, give them the desires of their heart. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to do this for your Son Jesus' sake. Before I leave this meeting, I want you to let people come by and testify of their healing. Father, I want you to let them come and testify of your glory. I want you to let them come, oh God, and testify of what you've done for them. I want you to do it tonight, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You feel God? Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and sing a chorus with us tonight. And let's worship God for just a few minutes before we dismiss. Can you sing this song with him? The blood of Jesus. Can you sing it? Just lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Blood of Jesus. Think of what it can do for you tonight.
Of my Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because it washes me.